Saturday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and the name of the rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Marquette program, Joe Marquette.
Have you ever noticed, Alan, you and I get very little sympathy?
That's true. And another thing that's getting very little sympathy is the stock market. Another bad day today. The Dow and the S&P down 1.5%, and NASDAQ down 2.1% today.
So let me ask you a question. What do you think this means?
Long term, not much, because I don't see a recession on the line.
So why is this happening?
Well, a number of reasons. The market may have gotten ahead of itself. We had a tremendous rally since the bottom in March of 2009, and maybe it's a little give back here. The economy, as far as I look at it and you look at it, still looks strong, but the Fed needs to go slower now. They've raised four times now, and hopefully they'll let the economy sink in for a while before they do another rate increase, although they've said they're probably going to do two in 2019.
You know, this is an interesting thing, Dave. When you ask an attorney his opinion, mm-hmm. you know, they get paid by the word.
I heard that.
So I was looking for one sentence. I got two books out of all it, but that's okay because I asked, you know, so I'm guilty, right?
No, it's just that you and I are doing the show today, so I thought I would improve my breathing by talking a little bit more.
Now, what happened is, now, for those of you that are just listening for the first time, which I hope there's none of you, but if you are, I'm going to tell you this anyway. I am Joe Martech. I'm a financial advisor. I've been doing these radio shows since 2004, not here on WCNO. I think we're here for 3 or 4 years. Do you know how long, Alan? Well, you've been two and a half years.
Well, it's
as
almost,
a guest.
It's almost three for me now here.
Okay.
So it's probably 3.5 to 3.75
somewhere
years.
You know, I don't keep track, but I know we started. So the only reason I keep track, we use the hurricanes Francis and Jean as our start date. Hmm. Because back in 2004, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, That's a big word, independent, folks. You need to know that, that an independent means he doesn't work for one company. He works for you. And then he would have maybe 100 companies or 20 or 50 or 30. And Dan happens to be the premier independent agent on the Treasure Coast. So independent's a big word. Greg Fasula, attorney, because what happens is when I go out and see a new suspect or prospect, one of the first things I ask him is, do they have a will or a trust? Because I have a, I feel a fiduciary relate. Don't you love that word fiduciary, how overused it is, Alan?
Like awesome, for example?
Yeah, yeah, close. But fiduciary, it's also like segue, that word segue. Remember, we never used that word, ever even heard of it. All of a sudden, it became a common word. Anyway, fiduciary means I have a responsibility to do what's right for people I talk to. Mm-hmm. Now, I have an opinion. My opinion is, let's get the cart and the horse in the proper order. So when we started doing the shows, Greg Fasula, attorney, does wills and trusts. Now, why do I love Greg Fasula? Because he's got one of the better hearts of any attorney I've ever known in my whole life. Now, we don't agree politically, but that's got nothing to do with him as a person. He only will do the right thing for anybody. And not, now, Alan, you might want to contribute to this. Not all attorneys always do what's in the client's best interest. Can you believe that?
That is correct.
So what happens is, I have gone through attorney after attorney after attorney back way back 20-some years ago. And when I've met Greg Fasula, he's a gentle person. He's a good listener. He's kind. He's fair. Can you imagine this word fair in the same sentence with attorney? It just doesn't often compute. And he wasn't pretentious. He wasn't arrogant. He's just a flat good guy. So when it comes to anything legal, I go to Greg because I know he's only going to tell me the straight skinny. He's not going to ever move one way or another except the right way. So we started doing the radio show so we could answer questions for people regarding the law, one, regarding insurance, which is a big subject, household, cars, whatever kind of insurance you have, and Joe Martek, financial advisor, when it came to your money, which we started off the show with special guest team member Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, who has been an integral part of our group, even though he's not an official part of the group, for the last pushing 3 years. Is that fair?
Yes.
So, and I use Alan oftentimes as a sounding board because he's got a good memory. And he looks like he's 104, but luckily he's not quite that old, but he's got the knowledge of a 104 person stashed into that brain of his, and it comes in handy on occasion. Dave, would you agree?
I would agree.
Yeah.
He's...
Now, Dave, it's hard keeping him awake today because he has an excuse that he drove all the way from Gainesville here. And at his age, that's a pretty long drive.
Definitely. Yeah.
Anyway, so the concept of the group was to answer questions. Then over a period of time, we added Ms. Victoria Lloyd Remax of Stewart, who I happen to have known since 1980. She's the hardest working realtor, maybe the hardest working person that I know, most credible person, meaning if she says she's going to call you at 3 a.m, don't go to sleep. She'll call you at 3 a.m. She, mm-hmm. when she says something, it's going to happen. And you know, all of us have been frustrated by quote professionals or business people that don't do what they say they're going to do. If she does not do what she says she's going to do, she's probably in the hospital, and they've got her on a tracheotomy or life support or something because she is the most credible person I've ever known. And she's only going to give you the straight skinny when it comes to real estate, which leads me to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who works hand in glove with Victoria. So when it comes to what do I need to do to qualify for a mortgage, one of the things that Mike does for people, and we've had numerous people call in on the show and what he's done for people that we take for granted because we know what Mike does, but in 15 minutes, if you allow it, he'll run a credit report. He'll tell you where you stand. He'll tell you what you can or cannot do. And if you cannot, he'll also tell you what you need to do to correct the situation so that maybe 3 months, 6 months, or even a year down the road, you can. So very, very, very important, which leads me to Vince Rosino, CPA, and not just a CPA, a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness and an ex-college professor. And Vince is, again, one of the better people alive. Now, the critical thing with this group that has taken me years to put together, and I'm bragging a bit, but and I don't mean to be that. Humble is a better word. So I'm going to be arrogantly humble. Okay. I know. Dave just had a heart attack over here. You took that.
I'm just trying to bring those two words
I know.
Together.
They don't jive, do they?
Not usually, but I'll see how it works for you.
Well, integrity, credibility. This is what these people bring to the table.
That's right.
There's almost 200 years worth of combined experience in this group, and that's not counting Alan. When I throw Alan Love in, we got over 300 years of combined because that brain of Alan's is stashed with stuff.
Mm.
So the object of the group is to answer questions for people to help you in any area of expertise, and I've tried to assemble, and I feel very grateful, and I thank God every day, that we've assembled a group of high integrity local professionals that try and exemplify doing the right thing. So we answer questions. Yeah, we all need to make a living and get paid, but that's not important. Our first and most important goal is to make sure that we handle a situation and help you with it to the best of our ability and try to direct you in the right direction. So with all that said and done, you can call us toll-free and get on the radio, and that number is 888-221-8990. Now, pretend you're a class. You're supposed to write this number down. I'm the teacher, and I have another teacher here, which is Alan Love. Now, the reason he's a teacher, because Alan Love is a card-carrying Jew who looks like a rabbi and should be a rabbi, because in the definition of rabbi as a teacher, but he is called a Messianic Jew, which I nicknamed him Messy because he looks messy, but he's a Messianic Jew, which means he's a Jew that became a Christian, what, 3 years ago now?
Oh, much longer than that, July 18th of 2009.
That's a couple years longer than that, isn't it?
Yes.
You know what, you're almost 10 years, 9.5 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so, and I got dipped in a tank in 1982. And, well, and the pastor that dipped me in the tank promised me the water was warm because he had to go in with me, and it was, which was good. You know, going into cold water is not good.
It's not going to make the experience greatly memorable in a good way.
Well, it probably made it more memorable.
Well, I suppose,
but it wouldn't be that positive.
No.
Warm water makes it more positive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was talking to another person that I met, and that was baptized out in the ocean. And I says, well, I hope it was in the summer because that water can be cold.
Oh, yeah.
1-888-221-8990. Anybody has questions to do with financial? Let me just explain this to you really quickly. As a financial advisor, I'm securities licensed. Now, this is an important thing. When we talk to Alan and I, you'll see commercials on TV and on the radio and in newspapers that are not securities approved. How can you tell the difference? If it doesn't say on the bottom of the page the name of a broker-dealer, Dean Witter, Merrill Lynch, minus the Torrance Financial, and if it doesn't say SIPC, FINRA, if it doesn't say these things, then it didn't go through compliance, and that ad had nobody approving it or disapproving it. There are some people that put things on the TV or radio or newspaper that may be a bit misleading. But I will tell you this, when it says those words at the bottom, like if you listen to the beginning of this show, we had to have disclaimers that say all kinds of stuff because that's the rule.
Right.
Then at the end of the show, we're going to go through the rules again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you are not a securities representative, you don't have these rules. You can say whatever because nobody is there in compliance. So you have to be careful. With a financial advisor, there's probably 30,000 different investments, and there's no way I can know all of them, but I have areas of expertise that I think lean heavily to helping people that are trying to, one, either save for retirement, two, are retired, three, that have existing retirement accounts they need to roll out of their employer, and how to protect that money and to make sure people get income for life, or and can take the money out and spend it. All of those things are what a, quote, licensed securities representative can do. Now, there's multiple securities licenses. Alan, you know how many we have to have. In fact, I'm taking compliance courses now. What happens, we call them continuing education courses in order to keep your certifications. Dave, don't you have to do that too in the clergy?
Not so much anymore since I'm retired.
But, okay,
yeah,
but
I
used to
have
be.
To do that.
So I have, I don't know how many courses I take, and I don't pay any attention because they're constant. But I've got 4 state licenses, and I have a 6, 7, 24 federal securities licenses. So there's all of these different tests that you have to take constantly, and it's kind of good because it makes sure you're not fried in the brain.
And in short, all those licenses are just licenses for you to be able to sell specific securities to the public, yeah, like insurance and
whatever they
stocks
might be.
And bonds.
Yeah,
and,
whatever they might be. Yeah. But the point is when you take the continuing education courses, it's kind of a, if you don't pass those, you don't keep your license.
That's right.
So it's also a test to see if you're not fried in the brain.
Right. You know, Joe, let's talk a little bit more about this market because of the fact that you need to put a umbrella around the daily news and look at the bigger picture. Now, if you bought stock on December 1st, as of tonight's close, your portfolio is down 10%.
Wait a minute. Not necessarily. You said stock.
Well, let's say the S&P 500.
There you go. See, okay. Now you got to be careful because the Italian, you know, not Italians. He's not Italian. He's Jewish. I keep forgetting. You know, you could pass as an Italian.
No, but
Leonardo da Vinci.
If you go back to the day that Donald Trump got elected, November 8th of 2016, the S&P is up approximately 25%. And nobody is complaining about it getting a 25% return on their money in less than 2 years. At the beginning of December, if you had a crystal ball, it might have been better to sell your investments at that point, go to cash and wait for the decline to be over. But who's going to know when the decline is over? So
he's talking about the S&P 500. That is what's called the benchmark in the industry. That represents 500 of America's biggest companies.
Right.
Now, when you invest your money in America, you're talking the blue chips, S&P 500. And by the way, I was talking to somebody today about it and saying that the S&P 500 has basically averaged 10% a year ad infinitum. He said, I thought it was more than that. And I said, no. I looked it up. From 82 to 2012, 30 years, it's 10.8%.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what amounts to, that's per year average. Now, in any 1 year, you can go up or down 25 or 30, any 1 year. But folks, I hate to tell you, we're in America. This is the land of milk and honey. We are blessed, and every single one of us that are lucky enough, and I do mean lucky enough to live in America, are just that. This is the land of milk and honey as far as economics, freedoms, everything in the world that can happen good to a person happens here. So skip back over to politics for 1 second. Where Alan was going was that the market right now is having a terrible December. This morning, the market was up, Dow 30 companies were up roughly 300 points.
Which was about 1.5%.
About 1.5%. And it closed down what?
It closed down 342 points.
Which is roughly?
1.5%.
Now, that's a 600 to 700 point swing.
A 3% swing in one day.
Now, why? Well, what happened is the Federal Reserve today decided to raise interest rates. This is by 0.25%. Now, 0.25%, that's on $100,000, that's $250. Is that
correct?
Right?
Correct. Yeah.
So it's insignificant. But what did they do? That is the money that the banks borrow money from the government for to put into their account and then loan out to you and pay you or charge you 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10%. Okay. That's how banks make their profit. So what happened is before the declaration of this 0.25%, there was some rumor that the Fed was not going to raise. Well, guess what? Most people really believed that the Fed was going to raise. So what happened is, when that happened, is the market tanked, because the market projects ahead 6 months to a year and sometimes 2 years. Today's numbers are not based on today's values. They're based on what they think they might be. And boy, let me just say that again. Think, guesstimate what they might be 6 months to a year to 2 years in advance. So why are they worried today? Well, one, they're worried that the world economy is not doing what it's supposed to do. Two, our government has decided that tariffs are important and decided that China has violated all kinds of stuff, so we're into this contest with China. Three, how does that directly affect every single one of us in our houses and our income today? None. Alan, I'm not trying to over exaggerate, but when we buy groceries or we buy stuff in the grocery store or at Walmart, wherever it might be, I have not seen one dime's worth of change from where it was a year or two or 3 years ago.
Well, it might affect a small group of people, like first-time home buyers. They may have to pay slightly more in interest because of
Now, stay with that for 1 second. So what happens when the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, it usually creates a situation where the bond market, quote, and what do they call it, Alan? The 10-year, the T-bill.
That's the benchmark.
The benchmark of T-bills, Treasury bills, which are also tied directly to the Fed,
right. Go
up. Well, if the T-bills are at 3%, normally mortgage interest rates are about 2% higher than that. So today they're at 5%, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, 5%, most of us that are old consider that a gift. It's a wonderful number. But when you're young, if they were 3% 2 years ago and now they're 5%, that's a pretty big increase. So what that has a tendency to do is slow down the housing market. If you slow down the housing market, that puts a lot of people out of work, because a lot of people are necessary to build a house. You also, when you hurt or adversely affect interest rates, business people borrow money. Which means if they borrow money at 5% rather than 3%, let's just take it, they're going to have to charge more to the consumer for the product, because there's no such thing as a company ever paying more money. In spite of what politicians tell you, it's not ever been the truth. The reality is this: if the prices go up to a company, the prices go up to the consumer. Hmm. They offset them by raising the prices. It's just called life, because companies don't like losing money on purpose, so they raise the prices. And every company has to, because they all work under the same set of rules, and nobody has figured out how to make a widget cheaper than the next guy unless they can come up with a new invention to make it work. So today, our economy is extremely strong. Number two, interest rates are extremely good, but they're going up. They're not going down.
Right.
There is no inflation, so to speak, because the Federal Reserve decided in its omnipotent knowledge that 2% is the rate that should go up every year in inflation, and we're just about there.
So now, raising interest rates to 2.5%, there's no fire for the Fed to raise any more at this point without inflation. But what I think hurt the market was the media for the last 3 days was postulating that because the narrative was the economy really isn't that strong. The Fed probably isn't going to raise interest rates
right.
in 2019. But then the Fed came out with a statement saying we're probably going to raise rates twice.
There you go. So today, all of a sudden, people are saying, okay, the Fed says the economy's okay, everything's okay, but we don't believe them. I mean, this is really pathetic mm-hmm. because everything is working well. Now, there also have been some theories out there that we have a political problem. Mm-hmm. We have a political problem. Can you believe this? Politics causing a problem, Dave?
That's amazing.
Just amazing. So right now, there are a large number of people that think that we have a political problem. Either they're pro or con our political system, but it makes no difference. We have a political problem. So the economy sits good over here. The Fed says the economy is good, but they're going to raise interest rates because they don't want it to get on fire. And we have politics over here that says people are not happy with our political situation. Okay, guess what? That all affects the market. Now, you, the consumer, are the victim in between this, because if you have money invested in a 401k at work, if you have an IRA, an individual retirement account, if you have money invested in anything, you're concerned about how the market is going to perform. Is that fair, Alan?
Yes.
And when you see these things happen and all of a sudden the market takes a hit today, I had two phone calls today. People said, Joe, get me out of the market. Okay, I can get you out instantly. It's just a matter of a phone call. It's your decision. Both of them did not say, Joe, what's your opinion? Because if I gave them an opinion, I'd have had to give them this whole long story that I just gave you.
Mm-hmm.
So then the concept is this. What is the market going to do? Well, the way the market normally works, if a company makes money, their value goes up. So if I have stock in a company and the share prices are $100 a share and they've got 10 million shares times 100, that means that company is worth 100 times that 10 million shares. Well, if the company's making a profit, that means their shares go up in price. If the company's losing money, very often their price comes down. Have we heard of Sears and Roebuck? Have we heard of General Electric? When the companies are not doing well, their value comes down. When they're not making profits, their value keeps coming down, because in order to make a profit, in order for you, the owner of that company, to get any money, the company has to make a profit. Now, when you own stock, you own the company. Just that simple. You own the company. Now, you may own a tiny little tiny sliver. Remember the pizza story.
Yeah.
But the reality is this. If that company grows and makes profits, all of a sudden their stock price is going to come up. Is that going to happen? I hate to tell you, since 1930, yes, it's happened. We're in America, guys.
Well, you know, there's another issue that I think has a historical context. Remember, the first country to put a satellite in space was not us, it
Russia.
Was the Russians.
Yeah.
And that was in 1957.
That's before I was born.
And
not really. Forget that
we,
part.
We.
I just look young.
You do.
Realized,
thank you. Way to go, Dave.
We realized at that point that we were challenged, that we had to get up into space and we had to be able to match the Russians or exceed the Russians. And it was President John F. Kennedy's famous speech saying, we will put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. Well, we are the only country that not only did it before the end of the decade, but nobody else has put a man on the moon.
And you got a point. You're going here someplace
yes.
with this.
And the point is this. We are currently being challenged by China. China is saying that they will be the number one technology country and economy in the world by 2040.
That was 2025. They changed it to 40?
Maybe I was wrong. Be 2025. But the point is that that's where China is headed for. So China is looking to meet its goal. They've got a goal out there.
Okay, well, your point is now
our
what?
Goal, is our goal specifically to say, no, China, we are still going to be the number one economy in 2025, 2040. If we're not, then what's happening to America?
Well, you see, I personally think it makes no difference. China's only got, how much bigger is their population than us? Five times? 10 times? Big.
Something like that.
It's a monster number. Okay. They are going to overtake us in gross domestic product. They're going to produce more stuff because they got all these people and they got all this land. I mean, it's just a matter of math.
Okay.
Now, one of the problems politically is, and it isn't just politically, it's morally and ethically, is that China steals. And they have been proven to steal time and time again. So we have this argument going on that's political right today,
right,
about trying to straighten China out so that they're playing fair. Well, you know, this word fair, folks, it just doesn't seem to occur except inside your house. You get out there, and man is greedy, and some are evil, and some are crooked, some are disgusting. Well, we as a world economy have to deal with all these people, and how to deal with them is not easy.
Well, China is certainly going to have a higher gross domestic product than we are because of their population.
Right.
But I think the real issue is technology. We have to be able to make technology, develop technology without it being stolen.
Now, let me ask you a question. This is what I like. What happens if China does more technology than we do?
It depends how they use it. If they use it peaceably, if they use it to benefit the world, great. But
okay, let's say they don't.
They are
what I'm trying to say is I'm having a hard time saying, what's the difference if they produce a better cell phone than we do?
Well, okay, cell phone's fine, but they're a socialist system.
Well, no. What's the difference from an economic standpoint for us or a world order, or whether they do a better computer, a better cell phone, a better whatever? They have a nuclear bomb. We have a nuclear bomb.
How do they use the technology? If they use it beneficially to help mankind, great.
Okay, let's say they don't.
Then we've got a world war, possibly.
Ah, okay. Guess what, folks? That's called Armageddon, because I hate to tell you this. If we start throwing nuclear bombs around, those of us that are left behind, you ever read the Left Behind series or Revelations?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, you better kneel down and say, hey, Lord, listen, I really mean it. I am not faking this thing. I want to be one of those that gets to leave when this occurs. And it might. So my point is this: how are you going to stop people that are devious, dishonest, from doing that? Now, if we go to China, and I've never been, but I would bet you a dollar to a donut that 90% or so of the Chinese people are just the same as we are. No different. They're hardworking. They do everything that we do. But then you got government people sitting over on the other side. They're a communist government, which they're controlled people, right?
Yes.
We are not controlled. Can you believe that?
I watched President Xi's speech.
Can you believe we are not controlled?
We are controlled.
There you go. So what has happened? Even though we have a free society and we elect our people, behind the scenes, guys, I hate to tell you, we are still the pawns in this whole picture. But thank you, Lord, we are pawns in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the best place to be a pawn.
The best place to be a pawn. So I still don't believe in a heartbeat, because America has gone through these scenarios. You know, we're a relatively new country. We don't have thousands of years of history, but we're the greatest power on this earth.
But can we stay that way?
Well, and even if we don't, what are the downsides? You know, I'm saying if they lob over a bomb and we lob over a bomb, we all just get blown up. So it's time to cash in the cards, and all of us that are Christians decide, hey, this is a good time to go up and say, hey, Lord, it's me. It's time. I hate to say it. I'm not overly concerned about this long-term picture. What I look at is, because we are a free society, our people and everybody on earth that has intellectual capabilities would rather live in America than any other country on earth, because we have the ability to do the right thing for people. And 99% of the people out there, or 90-some percent, are good people.
Well, Joe, you know, we are both sitting before a microphone. We have freedom of speech probably yep. better than any other country in the world. And I do somewhat disagree with you. I am more concerned with
David. Can you imagine somebody disagreeing with me?
I am a little bit more concerned with the longer term picture than you are, but the fact that we are able to have a friendly, reasonable discussion about the matter, and nobody's going to tell us to keep our mouths shut. Government is not going to cut off our mics. Maybe Pastor Dave will.
Dave might
not,
cut us off.
Not,
you know?
Not government.
No.
But that's the beauty of America. And really, that's what we're talking about. We wholeheartedly agree about America.
So let me talk about money again. So now, put all of this stuff aside, because we can argue theoretically about all of the things that are influences that are part of our life. But let's just go back to history in America. For the last 30 years, between 1952 and 1982, the S&P 500 has averaged 10.8% per year. 10.8% per year. Those of you that know the rule of 72, if you divide the interest rate into 72, that equals the number of years it takes to double your money. So take 10 into 72 is 7.2 years.
That's right.
So you double your money. So let's just say you started off in 82 with $10,000. In 92, you had $20,000. In 2002, you had $40,000. In 2012, you had $80,000. And in 10 more years, from 12 to 22, which is around the corner. So it's a lot. But that point is, that shows you the power of compounding money. Now, here we go again. Now I'm a working person, and I've got money saved. I've got cash in the bank, and I'm earning my 1% or 2% in the bank. Or I've got a 401k or a 403b, whatever the number is. It's a retirement account, and I have no clue what's in it, what it's doing, but I'm leaving that company. Now, what I want to do when I leave that company, I got to start learning some stuff that I really didn't learn all these years, because it's my future. And if Armageddon does not occur, I'm going to become an old person, and I don't want to move in with my kids right away yet. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to have my Social Security income, and then I want to have extra income for my retirement. So it pays you to learn what I'm talking about here. How can you protect that money? There are multiple ways to do it. We can invest it. We can make sure it makes, but we can't guarantee that it makes, but we can put insurance with it to protect it just in case. So I'm not going to go into four-part harmony on how that works, but the reality is this. You that are in that position, that are listening to this program, need to be educated, and that's my job. My job, my mission here is to educate people. We have Alan and I that are trying to educate people today, but sometimes we get carried away with too much on the periphery rather than what is reality. The periphery is what's going to happen for the next 2, 5, 13, 90 years. I don't care. How do I do it today to protect me? That's my job. How do we do it today just in case the world does not come to an end, just in case God decides that we're stuck here for another 100 years or 10 or 20 or 30, we need to exist in the meantime.
And if anybody has a question about that right now, you can call 888-221-8990. Joe would be more than happy to talk to you or answer your questions off the air or refer you to any of the other five team members.
And that's a toll-free number.
That's right.
Now, it's important you write this one down, 888-221-8990. Now, I'm going to repeat it one more time because sometimes we talk too fast. I would never, of course, but Alan does. 888-221-8990. Now, I do have to wake Alan and Tom up because I managed to put them asleep a little bit.
Well, look, Joe, when you pick on me, you got to keep a straight face.
I don't want to hear about you teaching the breaststroke in a synagogue anymore.
All right, let's just go into that.
888-221-8990. Anybody?
Joe, this is going to be our last live show of 2018.
That's true, because we're going to do best of next week.
Do you?
It means a repeat. I'm sorry. What? Let me take a call. You got saved, Alan. We don't have to talk. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Thank you for saving us.
Yeah, you sounded like you needed somebody to call in. So,
thank you so much. We were getting desperate there. I was going to call you.
My question, I think, might fall within what you've been alluding to. I have an annuity.
Okay.
The bulk of my retirement, it's about $305,000. And I'm looking to get a check when I retire about equal to what my Social Security will be, which is about $1,500 a month. And I'm wondering if I were to annuitize maybe $200,000 within this annuity, keep the other $1,000. It's been in fixed at threes since I took it out years ago, and I just left it there because it's been a blessing to have that.
Sure, sure.
But I don't know, what would $200,000 give me in today's market, and how do I shop that around?
Well, the first thing you do, that existing insurance contract, right?
Uh-huh, right.
It's got a company name.
Right.
And now, let me ask you a question. You're going to love this. How old are you?
74.
Okay. You call up the insurance company and say, I have this existing annuity contract with you. I want to have the annuitization figures. Now, what you do is you can say, I want to only annuitize $200,000. I may want to roll $100,000 into a different retirement account, but I need the annuitization figures on the $200,000. Now, stay with me for 1 minute.
Okay.
Annuitization, for those of you that have never heard this word, means set up a pension. It's just all it means, I'm going to set up a pension. So now we have different ways to annuitize. One is give me a check every month for the rest of my life. Then the question comes up, well, what if I die after 1 month? Well, nobody gets a dime. Well, guess what? That's a pretty big check. That's like your Social Security check. You die tomorrow and your Social Security check's gone. You can do that with the annuity contract the same way, and you get a higher check every month. Now, what do they do to calculate how much you get? Well, here's what they do. They say, how much money? That's one. How old are you? Two. What's your sex? Three. Four. What's the then current interest rate? Now, that's the only mitigator that you can control, because today the then current interest rate is pretty low. So it may not be in your best interest to annuitize now. It may be in your interest to annuitize a year from now. Because also a year from now, you're a year older, and the price would go up. In other words, your income would go up because you didn't do it at 74, you did it at 75. And if interest rates go up between now and then you would get another bump up. But first option is a life income. Second option is, are you married or no?
No.
Okay. You have children?
Yes.
Okay, good. We need to get rid of those, and you need to marry me because you've got too much money. Anyway, but let's go into the second option is, I want to guarantee an income every month for the rest of my life, but no less than 10 or 15 years. Why? Well, if I die in 1 year or 1 month, I want my children to get that money for the next 10 or 15 years, so at least they get back every dime that's in that account.
Right.
Okay, so that becomes one of the second options. There's a third option, and you want them, the insurance company, to give you all of the annuitization options. And a third one might be, well, give me the highest check now, and if I die, my children get a smaller check, but again, for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years. Whatever they offer you, they might have 5 or 6 or 4 or 9 different options. You want to have them send you all of them. Now, they may say, we only have 3, and whatever the rules are, we're not going to change the rules, but you want to know what they are.
Right. Okay.
And
basically, are all the life insurance companies, whether I I mean, I could take that. No, I guess I wouldn't want to take that $200,000 out. I'd be taxable on
not necessarily
$86,000. So
no, no. What you do, you can roll it to another company. So the first thing is to find out what company A, which is the one you've got today, what they can do. Then after you know those numbers, then you say, hey, Joe, run this thing through every company you know, and let's see if somebody does a better job for me.
Okay, very good.
And each time you do this, by the way, if you roll it from company A to company B, it doesn't cost you anything. It's tax-free because you didn't put any money in your pocket. So this is a wonderful thing you're making this call, because there's tons and tons of people in your position, maybe not quite as much money or maybe less or more, that don't know these questions. And this is second nature for me.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That'll give me a place to start.
Yeah. Do your first thing first, and then after you get that information, give me a call back, and let me see if I can help you shop so you can find out what's in your best interest.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
Joe, yeah, that's a really good one, Alan.
Yeah, but what about taking that money and going into a variable annuity?
Well, you see, I didn't want to get into all of that right now. What I want a person to do is see what are your options with that one company first.
Okay.
So once you know what the options are with that one company, now we can shop 10 different companies, 20 or 30, shop them all. Is there somewhere that's better for me? Because this thing we didn't get into, what is the long-term questions are, what are my options that are not subject to tax adversely, how affecting me?
And what are your goals, your family situation?
All the above.
Yeah.
Just take another call while we're here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Liz.
Hi, Liz.
And I'm going to retire in a year and a half.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I'm happy, too. I wish it was tomorrow.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes. And I have my money spread out in, like, four different accounts.
Okay.
And so, what is the wise thing I should do? Should I consolidate all of them?
Now, you got your money with four different companies, or you got it inside your 401k with different options? Give me more clues.
Okay. I have one is an annuity that I've had for 20 years,
okay,
and it's locked in interest rate for 4.5%.
Okay.
And then I have another one in a Bengor account.
Okay.
And then I have another one in a retirement account.
Right.
Oh, so it's only, no, so I was exaggerating, it's only three. Yeah, Bengor.
Anyway, you got four separate, either have annuities or investment accounts that are all tax deferred, meaning as long as you don't take money out, you're not paying any tax. Okay.
Yes.
Now, here comes, you heard the caller that just called in just before you. Did you listen to what she went?
Yes, I heard a little.
Okay.
Yes.
You're more complicated, because here's what I would normally do with you. I would sit down with you during the day when we have an hour, we can get on the phone during regular hours, and I can call each one of these companies with you on the phone, and we can ask the questions that we need to ask in your best interest. Now, one of the problems is this: I know the questions to ask. The average person doesn't know. So that's why I like to do it during regular hours. We can put on a conference call or a speakerphone, and we ask each company these questions, and then when we get done, we now have our notes, and then we can say, okay, fine, here's what we've got. How do we take this four and convert it to one or two or three or who knows what in your best interest?
Yes.
Making sense?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Totally.
So here's what we do. You left your number with Pastor Jonathan when you called in. Not today or tomorrow, probably, but after the holidays, I'll give you a call. We'll set up a time. We'll get together, and we will call every one of those. All I need is the name of the companies and a statement, and we will do some research and find out what's in your best interest.
Okay.
I hate to tell you, it's easy for me because I do it all the time.
Oh, but, I know. Yes.
But, you know, like everything is easy once you know it, right?
Exactly.
It's the process of learning it that's the problem.
Well, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to get knowledge.
Well,
reading and listening and calling, yeah.
Well, that's
trying to get knowledge on what to do.
This is my job, is to educate you so that you are a informed consumer, that you can make an intelligent decision that's in your best interest and your family's in case you decide to die.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So would it, all right. So how much is that for a consultation?
Nothing. I don't charge anything to consult people. What I try to do is to come up with your best solutions, and I'm a monster believer in what goes around and comes around. If I'm doing the right thing, I'm taken care of. God's blessed me like there's no tomorrow, so I'm a lucky man.
You are, and you reap what you sow. That is true.
There you go.
Well, but
I'm not good at planting too many seeds, because this is Florida, you know. I don't grow stuff as good in this soil.
You have to grow native things in Florida.
There you go.
Hey. All right, well, you have a Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for your help, and have a Happy New Year.
And I'll talk to you after the holidays. Is that okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you see, here, that's the same situation I was talking about. People have certain things, and it might be good, bad, or indifferent, but what are my options? Mm-hmm. And the problem is, the average person doesn't know the questions to ask to find out what the options are with what they've got, or if they can move it from point A to point B without paying anything, without paying tax, in their best interest. My job, and thank you, Lord, that's my job. I get to educate people.
There's a plethora of issues, too.
Look at that. A plethora. We got plethora. We have, what's the other words we were talking about today that we don't ever use that now we have?
I am drawing a blank.
You know what happens to me? Hanging out with old people, folks. I'm telling you, this is tough. These senior moments hit.
What did we talk about today? Did we talk about anything?
Yeah, we did. Segway.
Segway.
Well, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. See, what I don't do to keep these old people alive here.
We don't want to drag you down.
Plethora.
Joe. Plethora.
You know, when I listen to words on the radio, and I listen to, quote, professionals, and they use industry words that nobody has a clue what they're talking about.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking, guys, you don't need to pat yourself on the back. All you're doing is upsetting people. You need to talk English, and you know, don't use words that people don't know. Now, plethora just means a lot.
It means a lot.
You know, now, you know, it's less letters to say a lot.
It's true.
Than plethora. Now, it's like the word cognizant. I love that word, cognizant.
I love that, too.
That means I understand. Oh, you're cognizant of that. Oh, yes, I am. I understand. Well, why don't you just say understand then?
It's not as much fun, though.
It's not as much fun. You know that I had one of my favorite kids. This is a terrible thing to say, but the most fun, one of my kids, this was her thing. Every day she would read the dictionary.
Mm.
And at dinner, we would sit at the table, and she would try to stump me with words. This kid, I think she read every page, and the most literate kid in the world, because it was stump dad.
It's amazing.
Well, she stumped me a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And she would dance because she was so happy.
Well, Joe, you know, part of language is the flow of the words. I mean, it makes sense to say, Joe, I like you a lot, not Joe, I like you a plethora.
Right. Or a myriad, which is
a myriad
way of saying a lot of things.
Well, there's also a myriad of choices.
Yeah. I haven't read the dictionary. I'm waiting for the movie.
Hey, you know, this
remember thesauruses? We all used to all have a thesaurus. Do they still have a thesaurus out there? Now it's all on the computer or on your phone.
Computer, but yeah. Joe, this is our last live show on WCNO for 2018.
Live, yeah. Yeah,
that's
because
right.
We're going to do a best of next week. Pastor Dave will decide which show he likes.
Oh, I don't let me do that.
You don't want to do that?
No, Tom usually does that.
Okay, well, tell Tom to use this one, because we had two good questions that came in.
We did.
That are not normal questions, and that's a big subject. These are big subjects. So I would like to have other people listen to those two questions and those answers, because what they did, those two people, opened up a can of worms, and this is a good can.
It's a good can.
Because many, many people are in that position, and they need get, you know, and I hear this all the time. Many, many people really don't even care about getting educated, and that worries me because somebody might take advantage of them or they might make a bad decision.
Yes.
So it doesn't, it's not that hard to learn if we just stay focused and we look literally at what you have and find out what you've got and make notes.
Well, you know, the 2019 for the MarTech show is going to be a wonderful year because, number one, Vince, with all the tax changes that are coming into effect, the real estate market certainly is going to have an impact on 2019 with the changes in interest rates. The stock market, who knows where it's going to go?
Well, here, let's predict. You and I screwed up this year. We figured it was a 10% year. And if it hadn't been for today, it might have been. But
well, we're down for the year, but we've got, what, 8 trading sessions to go, something like that?
We got
that
a few days left to go. Well, it's not all of it that's down. The Dow and the S&P 500 were pretty much a break.
I believe NASDAQ is down, too.
NASDAQ's
now for
down.
The year.
The NASDAQ 100, which I like better, which is only the top 100, is technically still up, I think, for the year, but insignificant. But to have a year where you make nothing but don't lose anything, that's not the worst year.
Joe, my prediction is going to be what it was for this year. I think we're going to have an 8 to 10% rise.
I'm with you on the money. You and I predicted that a year ago.
I'm sticking with it.
I am sticking with it, too.
I think this year was an aberration more because of outside factors.
I love another word
economy.
I like, aberration.
Well, I had to redeem myself before the final second.
See, now,
the show.
You know, attorneys get paid by the word, so that's a word they get to charge more for.
We don't want us a plethora of aberrations.
That's it.
Thank you, Pastor Dave, for
and we
producing
go
for
888-221-8990. We're done almost for the show, but you can call this number anytime. Pastor Dave, Tom, or Jonathan will take your call and have us call you back. 888-221-8990.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Until next year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
That's right.
Got 15 seconds.
15.
You know, we can cure the ills of the world with plethoras and segues.
Have very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Hey, thank you, Lord, for giving us this year, and I hope it's the best for everybody in the next year.
Amen. Ditto.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725. Thank you.
the God who made the universe, so still 'neath earthly skies, oh, worship Him.